Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. Bright, sunny day. Good to have you with us. Lisa Newell is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News, and the paper comes out every Thursday, so we get a little preview with her talking about it in the morning. Lisa, welcome back.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I wanted to tell you some bad news first, and that is that this really popular shop called 98 Treasures, which has been around for quite a long time, but it was under the ownership of a new group that had only owned it for 3 years, which is still a pretty long time. And they were celebrating their three-year anniversary on Sunday, and right after the owners left for the day at 7 o'clock, a fire broke out in the attic, and it destroyed the building.
Oh, bummer.
And all of the priceless things inside. So it was like a store that had everyone would rent a booth, and they would bring their handmade items or some of their antiques or refurbished items. I mean, there was beautiful, unique items in there. And it's a total loss, unfortunately. And I did speak with David Ratcliffe, who owns the building, and he said that the fire marshal is going to declare it was an electrical problem.
Mm.
So, but the whole problem is it's all that wonderful stuff is gone.
Yeah, and I have to assume that if it's individual merchandise merchants, that they probably don't have great insurance. Maybe, they may, but they may not. And, will the building cover it? I don't know. But,
deductible probably wouldn't even cover it. Yeah.
Right.
It's very, very sad.
Oh, that stinks. We have kids going back to school on Monday. So school zones will be active in Santa Rosa County, right?
Well, that is true. That is true. Right now we have an article about how they're trying to raise money. The district gives almost $500,000 for school supplies for the teachers. That only comes out to about $300 per teacher. And so the PTAs, PTSOs, they're all trying to scramble to raise money, to have enough money. That doesn't really even cover the amount of copy paper that a teacher will need throughout the year. So there's a lot of ways that you can give if you have the ability to give through just making a donation, a cash donation, or bringing, school supplies to the school. Because, kids, sometimes they can't afford to have the things that they need, and they need to replenish those things throughout the year. So, to help everyone get on the right foot, it's probably not, I'm not just talking about Gulf Breeze schools, too. I mean, if you have a school in your neighborhood, please consider donating to the school, to the PTA, PTSO, to help them provide the things that teachers need.
I really thought it was a neat, just on that note, that program that Linda Sanborn had come up with a couple of years ago, where at least the credit card for the principal at the school for charitable small items that wouldn't need to be pre-approved. I just thought it was a great little solution to a little problem that makes a big difference in a particular kid's life. I love that kind of stuff. We had a forum. Somebody hosted a forum recently, right?
Yeah, some guy I've never heard of. I mean, he got up there and asked a bunch of questions. Anyway,
some guy in a red shirt named Andrew. I don't know, whatever, weirdo.
Yes.
Had to handle hecklers and everything.
Well, it was a very good forum, and of course, we just now are having the opportunity to publicize it and tell what happened. We had a great turnout. There was a lot of people interested to find out what's going on. There's so many candidates.
Yeah, lots,
and,
yes.
You may have your favorite person for governor or whatever, but people don't really pay attention as much to the local races. And, in Santa Rosa County, you vote at large, so you can vote for the person who's going to represent the other side of the county, and you may not know that person. So having these forums is so important to get to know the candidates, to figure out who you want to vote for, because early voting is underway right now, and the election is actually on the 18th, so very close in time. And if you didn't get it out to the Navarre Forum, or even if you did, there's going to be another one. We're going to host it. Gulf Breeze News is hosting it on Tuesday, August 11th at 6 p.m., at Gulf Breeze Middle School.
Nice.
We've invited all of those same candidates, including the congressional candidates. And hopefully they will all show up and they will all give an opportunity for you to meet them, find out what they're all about. It's interesting because I think everyone has a different approach. We all want the same thing. We want to have a successful Northwest Florida, successful county, successful schools. But everyone has a different idea of how to go about that. So learning which candidates really match what your idea is really important. And getting to know them in person is very important.
I got one of the best little follow-up notes to that forum. Somebody sent me a text or an email or something, a message anyway, just said that they really appreciated it because it helped them make a decision on at least two different races. And I thought, oh, payoff. because you never know if it's just...
Right.
kind of entertainment for people or if it really makes a difference. Just like I know you and writing the newspaper, you're like, how much difference does it make? But, you know, people tell you it makes a difference all the time. And that's very, very rewarding.
And you really get to know them a little bit better. And sometimes you think, I changed my mind on some people, too, interestingly.
Yeah. And that's the point, is you think you're going to go this way, and you wind up going a different way because of it. Gulf Breeze High School drama teacher's doing something?
Yeah, so Margie Timmons, she was like a beloved high school drama teacher, which she has fostered the careers of people who went on to Broadway, off-Broadway, film, TV, and everything under the sun. She retired a few years ago, and she decided that she didn't like retirement. So she decided she wanted to go back to teaching. So she ended up getting a job teaching at Navarre High School, their drama program down there. Started from scratch and, you know, has had a great run. But she's also coming back to Gulf Breeze, and she's going to be teaching some classes for teenagers from 9th through 12th graders at the Gulf Breeze stage. And so that is something that a lot of people who maybe they took drama from her years ago, maybe they wish they had taken drama from her years ago. They want their kids to have the opportunity. The thing about it is in the Santa Rosa school system, you only have one elective. And if you play any kind of sports or band or anything, that's got to be your elective. So you don't have an opportunity to try something else. So this is an opportunity to do that for those kids who already used up all their electives. They can do something after school that they wanted to try and see if they like it. And who knows, they might end up on Broadway.
Right, you never know. And even, you know, and look, drama, even if it doesn't produce an income or anything like that, it's a great experience. It's great character building. You get to participate in the arts. There's all kinds of value just in the doing of it alone, let alone if it ever winds up being a profession for you. The paper comes out every Thursday, the Gulf Breeze News. Lisa Newell is the publisher. Lisa, as always, thank you for what you do to keep us informed. Thanks for the time every Thursday, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, and I hope to see you in the breeze.
Yes, ma'am. 817 News Radio 92.3, a little late to traffic on the fives. PJ?
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Dog Track Road and Laren Avenue. We have an update that wreck is on the side of the road now, so just use some caution as you drive by that. Also have an object in the roadway, I-10 eastbound. Just
monkey. Baby.
You don't remember the Puppet Monkey Baby? The Mountain Dew Super Bowl ad for the purple whatever it was. I don't even remember,
no,
but that one killed me. It was so memorable and terrible and weird and grotesque. 820 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. The Senate will be voting today on whether to hold Dr. Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress. The former White House health advisor, of course, invoking the Fifth Amendment more than 100 times last week in the hearing about COVID-19. Tennessee is holding primaries today. The main event is the Republican primary for governor, where Senator Marsha Blackburn, Congressman John Rose, and State Representative Monty Fritz are running to replace their governor, Bill Lee. And the FAA says President Trump was on a helicopter that came close to a commercial jet on Tuesday. Marine One apparently was taking off from the White House Tuesday afternoon. At the same time, a flight took off from the Reagan National Airport. The two aircraft reportedly came within a mile of each other, but the FAA says that the president was never in danger.
All right, very good. Thank you so much, David. Appreciate that. 821 News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're just very, very good at this. 206 homes sold last year. That's 4 a week. They, you know, a lot of listings come to them from other realtors who just can't seem to make it work, which you know, it's a tough market. Okay, interest rates are still not as low as you'd like, and prices are still not as low as you like, so it's challenging, right? But they get a lot of homes sold, and that means a lot of experience of what the market's looking for, of what people are looking for, and, you know, it's all a numbers game. You know, little things like the way you stage it or the way you photograph it or the landscape or whatever can get in your way. In fact, one home she was telling me about, they had it like painted a kind of a coastal yellow inside. It seemed like a cool thing, and they just weren't getting any offers. And they're like, well, you know, let's just paint it more a neutral color. Got an offer right away. Like, it's a numbers game. And if you do a little thing not quite right that alienates one or two people here and this other thing, one or two people here, well, that's the difference in a deal or not. And so knowing those things and getting it sold all the way through to closing is a matter of really knowing, you know, in the small things, sometimes the difference between yeses and noes. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Do you remember Jacob Rockwell? That's the guy who said he did not drive the truck that got the red light ticket in Pensacola. And he made a big deal about it at the Pensacola City Council and went online, social media, national shares, national websites had picked up this story as evidence that the flock or that the red light cameras were bad. Well, then it turns out that it's sort of true. He was in Alabama. Somebody else was driving his truck in Pensacola. So it made news because it sounded like it did not happen when, in fact, it did happen. It just wasn't him driving. Well, the follow-up to this now is he's posted a post up on the Scambia Citizens Watch, which is, you know, a local Facebook group for, you know, various political and, you know, issues. And he says, and I think actually, Jacob, I think he's kind of an interesting fellow. When he speaks, he's very flamboyant. You know, he'll write these poems or and he's very passionate in his speech. And it's usually entertaining and a little bit over the top. And he's kind of an engaging guy. OK, so he writes this piece and he says, so I went to my hearing about my red light citation issued to me by Pensacola Police and Carlos Novoa Global. The first thing that happened is PPD city attorney got up and told everyone that they cannot make arguments based on constitutional rights. Yes, that's right. They simply don't want to hear it. You have to take it up on appeal. This is him writing. The next thing that happened was John Trawick of Trawick LLC introduced himself as the magistrate and said he cannot hear constitutional arguments. He doesn't care about your rights either. He is a construction attorney, LOL. First, the officer just reads a prepared cue card, and then you get to ask questions. I asked him where he was. He responded, at my desk. I then asked him if he knew who was driving. He said no, because the camera takes a photograph of the plate, not of the driver. He says, now it's my turn. I started off stating that I was not going to testify. I then presented two notarized affidavits stating that I was in Alabama at the time, then said I had page 21 page McFadden order. That's the one that said that the red light camera is not legal, I believe. But he didn't want it. I put on the record that the officer admitted he didn't know who the driver was and requested a dismissal. Last paragraph. I mean, there's more to it than this, but I'm just going to read you this. John Trawick was just waiting for me to be done talking so he could uphold the citation. It took 2 seconds for him to make the decision. It's a complete rubber stamp, kangaroo court. Every single person there was about 10 of us there, had their ticket upheld. This man is the cog that keeps this unconstitutional authoritarian machine rolling, the rubber stamp magistrate. See what I mean? It's fun. I mean, you know. I mean, he's wrong about most of what he's writing, but it's fun. Here's where it's wrong. Well, actually, let me get a quick traffic break. I'll tell you in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash north Century Boulevard at Camden Lane in Molino. Just use caution through that area. Also have an object in the roadway, I-10 eastbound, just past Scenic Highway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Okay, so the issue isn't so much that he's got nothing to complain about. The issue is it's venue, right? When you're talking about the court of first impression or the, in this case, the citation court for a red light traffic citation, this is not where you make constitutional arguments. It's not that they're invalid. I mean, I don't happen to think they're valid, but that's not a question that this court is geared to handle. That's the appellate court. You know, you've got to go through layers before you even get to the question of whether the law itself is constitutional and whether the ability or not to identify the driver or whether you should be obligated to tell on your friend who borrowed the car because you're responsible for the vehicle. And if the citation comes to you, then you have to say who was driving it in order to get out of it yourself. Those are interesting questions of philosophy and constitutional law, and they are in no way going to be the subject of conversation at this first hearing. And so you can say it's unconstitutional and believe that. You can pay somebody to make that argument for you. But to say that these people don't care about the Constitution and they don't care about your rights because they tell you that this is not the venue for that is false. It's verging on slander. Saying that they don't believe in the Constitution or care about your constitutional rights just because that's not the place for that argument is a misrepresentation of the purpose of that court. Now, it's annoying. I actually happen to agree with Jacob that if you want to protest this, you've got to go through the process. But, you know, ask Stan McDaniel how easy it is to find out that a law is unconstitutional. It took a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of inconvenience to get that case eventually ruled on that we can, you know, open carry and that it's unconstitutional to prohibit that. But it didn't happen at one day, and it didn't happen at the court of first impression. This kind of thinking that says, I disagree with this, I believe it's unconstitutional, nobody cares about rights the way I care about them, it's not the same as sovereign citizen thinking, but it's kind of on that path. it's kind of on the path that says I get to decide everything for myself, which is kind of an anarchy light kind of view that I'm the only one who can say what the law is for me. I can read my constitution. I can know everything for me. Well, in some cases, maybe. But if you're actually going to court, first court is not the place where you make that argument. That's all. And so he acknowledges later on, he storms out, he slams the door, that some piece of rubber falls off of the rubber stopper and the PPD is trying to get me over. Okay, all right. Anyway, like I said, an entertaining guy, interesting, provocative, but it's important to understand the process. And I can tell you, if there's any one thing that I hear from my friends who are elected officials or friends who work in government, whether it's law enforcement or, you know, code enforcement or just, I mean, anything, is people just don't understand these processes. People are upset. They're frustrated. It seems so simple from the outside. That's true whether you're a candidate for office and you're making promises that it would be illegal for you to actually try to accomplish, or the realities of which pot of money funds different things. There's a whole scope of things where people get frustrated, get upset, think they know enough, and then they go bold and loud and they wind up, you know, not really knowing the facts. And part of my job is to try to clarify and explain, but I get why it's frustrating for citizens if you don't know. I think our civics education, a lot of times we have settled for the idea that as long as we explain the three branches of the government and tell them what year the Constitution was ratified, then we're good. But there's so much more to it than that, and so much more to, like, local government that affects your life much more than anything that goes on in Washington affects your life. And, you know, understanding dumb stuff, like which road belongs to which government, therefore who to call when there's a problem on that road. It shouldn't be as complicated as it is, but it is complicated. And if you want to be successful operating within that environment, you've got to know the right person to call or the right agency to call. And that's it. Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, being able to read a little bit more, think a little bit more deeply, understand some of the new context and how these things actually work. And I will tell you, if you'd asked me 15 years ago, you know, what would you do if you get a red light citation and you don't agree with it? Maybe I would have been the guy who'd have been like, yeah, man, go there to the court and tell them about the Constitution and don't testify because then you can't get cross-examined. Like, kind of the weird ideas people have about how law works based on what their friends on social media have said or what they've seen on some, you know, Netflix special or whatever. And again, it's a matter of expertise and the actual functioning of these things. And it's understandable why people get it wrong.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I'm going to give you a magic wand here, and I want to know your answer to the following question. Wave your magic wand and eliminate one insect. Period. Wipe it off the face of the planet. 437-1620, 437-1620. You can get rid of one, but only one insect. And I'm going to go ahead and take for granted that there's no adverse environmental consequences. I mean, we have to take for, you know, well, you know, you got rid of the bees, and then the bees pollinate all the flowers, and the flowers pollinate all the Hanks, and the Hanks pollinate all of the corn, and, you know, now we all die because there's no crops because you got rid of the bees. Okay, I mean, if you want to say bees, whatever. 437-1620, 437-1620. Get rid of one and only one problematic insect. Tell me why. Give me a reason why. Argue it to me. And, you know, if you want to do a little pro-con, whatever the case may be, feel free to weigh in however you want. 437-1620. PJ?
Wasps.
Wasps.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a big issue with them at my house right now.
Okay.
And I'm looking at Google right now. They serve no purpose.
Before you wished them out of existence.
Exactly.
Before you went like Tom Hanks in front of the magic wish machine and told Zoltar to get rid of the wasps. You wanted to be sure you weren't really destroying the universe. Mm-hmm. So the wasps, I'm sure they serve a purpose of some kind, but we're not going to talk about what it is. But you want all the wasps, like the mud daubers, wasps, all of that kind of stuff just goes away. I will tell you, they are mean, ornery, painful creatures, and I'd be fine with the wasp going away. The only reason I don't say wasp, okay, hear me out on this. The only reason I don't say wasp is because in my life I've been stung by a wasp, I mean, I don't know, 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
You know, and I've had to go fight them and destroy them, you know, dozens of times. And, you know, I have my own tactics for that. By the way, a badminton racket works really well for wasp defense because you catch a lot of space and if they're coming at you, you know, anyway. so the backyard badminton. But only because it doesn't affect you often enough is the only reason I don't vote for that. But I'll tell you, I don't want to tell my answer just yet because I think somebody else is probably going to come along with it. 437-1620, 437-1620. All right, Don says the insect he would get rid of entirely is the cockroach. That is a hard one to argue with. I mean, it's hard to see the value of the cockroach. It is easy to see the problem of the cockroach, how difficult it is. And certainly they are an inconvenience in our lives. So, yes, getting rid of the cockroach makes perfect sense to me. Oh, man. Oh, and this actually comes from somebody who works as an exterminator. Ants.
Well, they would know.
And again, you kind of have to go in the, I know ants do a lot of good things for the soil, and I get all that, but, oh, man. Ants are frustrating, you know, especially because once you know, and in Florida, we have like 800 gajillion kinds, you know, the fire ants, the big ants, the small ants, the even smaller ants, the slightly less small than the other one ants. Like, you know, ants are just like, ah, and, you know, trying to solve them if they're in your house, you don't know where they're coming from. And then you got to, just all of it. I'm with you. Answer. Clint says same thing. Ants. My wife and I hate ants. I almost feel like, you know, Indiana Jones should have been ants. Why did it have to be ants, you know, instead of snakes? PJ has traffic on the fives.
9 miles accident free. Not showing any delays in Car City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you've got any kind of an issue with a car lock or a fob or house lock or anything like that, Ace Unlocks for all of that. Now, I know their name. I was actually talking to Chris Rona the other day, and, you know, he's like, man, Andrew, I love my company. We do great work, but my name, I wish I could change my name, but I can't at this point. Because they started unlocking car doors at UWF in 1998. So Ace Unlocks made sense. But now they do so much more. And their biggest business right now is actually fobs, programming fobs, cutting keys for the laser key cuts. They can do all that. You don't have to go to the dealership. They can do all of that stuff for you. Damaged keys, you put it in the wash, you know, stepped on it, lost it, whatever the case may be. That is something they do all the time. Residential, rekeying, installing locks, keypad locks, app-based locks, you know, like you want to give the babysitter a certain time frame that person can come to your house. You put an app and you tell it time. It's very cool stuff, by the way. So whatever your lock-related need is, 24 hours a day, you can call Ace Unlocks at 505-7545. Or just stop by at Airport and the Railroad Tracks. Mention my name, Andrew McKay. Get 10% off. Back to the question of the day, which is, wave your magic wand and eliminate one and only one insect off the face of the planet. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the asterisk bonus of, and no adverse consequences, like, you know, whatever role that insect plays in the world, it still finds gets solved. 437-1620. Chip says gnats. Oh, so I can see that. Gnats are kind of the every once in a while problem, but when they're a problem, they're like, ah, ah, ah. You know, they're all over the place. Somebody else says ants, roaches because they're disgusting, yellow flies. What are yellow flies? Anybody? They bite you? Are they like...
I'm not sure.
Are they big enough to see? Or are they like... the little waspy fly. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. Okay, got it.
Oh, yeah, they bite.
Okay, here goes. This is the one I didn't say because to me, this is the answer. Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes, the sound of the mosquito, the itch from the mosquito bite that does nothing for me. How does my, like, you know, normally body reactions to things are helpful because they guide you, they save you, they do something. How does me getting a bump and an itch do anything for me? Scratching is bad. That just makes it worse. Then I kill them and there's blood. I'm with you. And by the way, you can make a pretty good case that the mosquito, though they do feed the bats, but the mosquito is the world's most dangerous insect because of malaria. And, I mean, millions of people die every year because of this stupid bleeping mosquito. And we don't even have to get into all the other weird diseases that they carry. So, you know, West Nile and all that. Oh, here we go. Oh, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mosquito texts in a row. Mosquitoes spread disease, kill people and animals. Mosquitoes kill more people than any other insect. Correct. Mosquitoes, the red disease, it says, serves no purpose and are a nuisance. Somebody says palmetto bugs, just flying roaches. Yeah, no, I agree with that. 4-3s. Okay, flies, ordinary flies. I will say the ordinary fly is a pest. The ordinary house fly. Although I may not be, you know, Daniel LaRusso, I am pretty good at killing a fly. And there's a certain level of, you know, I can brag about catching flies with my hands. And my wife always calls me over to kill the insects. Let's see. Mosquitoes, bed bugs. No, you're right. Yeah, bed bugs are nasty, horrible, terrible, and you never know. Somebody says, good Lord, it's mosquitoes. How could it not be mosquitoes? How many people have died because of diseases spread by mosquitoes? I love that. Let's see. I heard one time somebody said, 437-1620, one text here says, I heard once that after a nuclear war, the only creature left would be the cockroaches. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the expectation. Oh, no-see-ums. Yeah. Okay, Amir says termites. And, I mean, when you talk about real damage to something that matters, the termite is worse than the ant, worse than the cockroach, worse than the annoyance even of, you know, bees and wasps and even mosquitoes, you have to say. Somebody says the only correct answer is mosquitoes. Any other suggestion is incorrect. Any bug that wants to bite and suck your blood has to go. Mosquitoes are food for dragonflies and purple martins. I mean, if the dragonflies and the purple martins need to die so that we can get rid of mosquitoes, I will take that trade. I do not like dragonflies nearly enough to off-balance the harm from mosquitoes. Oh, love bugs. You don't like love bugs? They don't bother me. I mean, they're everywhere. I grew up in the Midwest with cicadas. You know, whatever. Love bugs, no big deal. Somebody says roaches and ticks. Oh, ticks. Yeah, ticks are diseases. Ticks are, and you gotta, like, malaria kills people, but the ticks have that disease that you can get where you can't eat meat anymore. And I mean, not Lyme disease, it's that Texas, some weird acronym, the disease that makes you can't eat beef anymore. I'm like, I don't know that I'd want to live if I can't eat hamburgers anymore. So, all right, there's your question of the day, 437-1620. Wave your magic wand and get rid of an insect. So, you know the conversation about absentee ballots and voting by mail and all of this kind of stuff? It's an interesting conversation. I've told you before, if you're not familiar, I lived in Oregon for a while where there's no in-person voting at all. It's all by mail. I don't mind it. My wife loves to absentee ballot because she doesn't like to have to go down to the polling place. I'm more of this is part of the ceremony. I like to go vote in person on Election Day. I'm personally a believer in waiting until Election Day because, you know, I would hate to have some big news story come out the day before and then I can't adjust my vote because of it. So I like to, you know, wait until the last moment to make my pick. Plus, like I said, it's kind of a way of participating. Interesting story out of Wisconsin about absentee ballots. And this, it kind of proves that point. I'll tell you about it in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
No delays on Oliver Burgess. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Brent Lane. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, PJ. By the way, PJ, do you think of yourself as a Floridian or a Wisconsinian or whatever they call themselves? Wisconsinite, I guess?
I've spent most of my life in Wisconsin, so I'm still shaking that off.
Okay.
I love my new home state.
Yeah, very good. All right. You've been here 3 years?
4 years.
4 years. Okay, very good. All right, so this is out of your own former home state. Wisconsin judge rules that voters who have already returned their absentee ballots for the state primary cannot request a new one and invalidate the old one. They cannot change their vote. It's viewed as a blow to Democrats who filed a lawsuit seeking to give voters a do-over because of a chaotic primary that they had in the governor's race. More than 117,000 absentee ballots had been returned. Now, this story is, this is about a week old. I had it on my list for a little while. But Democrats were concerned that many of those votes might have been cast for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Have you been following this at all, PJ?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Who had been seen as a Democrat frontrunner before she dropped out on July 17th during a campaign finance scandal. A day later, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley had bowed out on July 8th, re-entered the race.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, you know, votes for one or votes for the other, what
and
would count?
He's the governor's pick, too.
Oh, and what's that? And he's the governor's pick now? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Elections Commission voted 4-2 on July 9th to give guidance to clerks saying that absentee voters cannot change their ballot after it had been returned, which is true. You cannot invalidate your ballot just because you changed your mind, which to me, it's called ballot spoiling, which to me is that's one of the reasons I don't vote by mail. Because I don't want to be caught in a situation where somebody drops out of a race and I voted for him. Now, I will take the 18 seconds worth of personal privilege to explain to you that if you had instant runoff voting, you wouldn't have this problem. But that even wouldn't, you know, because you would still get your next preference. But even that wouldn't solve for the late-breaking information, you know. Somebody comes up with something happens that's important in the last week before the election. You got to be able to adapt to that. So, yeah, I don't – don't cast my vote in advance at all. Democrats objected, supported the lawsuit filed by three voters that state law, they were arguing state law should allow voters to submit absentee ballots and then to change their mind. And the argument there is because Election Day hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, became an issue in the Supreme Court case of when is Election Day? Is Election Day up to 5 days later or not? I mean, there's a lot of interesting things. So I kind of described it as an outsider, but since you're that's kind of your domain. Anything I've missed in the conversation, PJ, or any facts you want to tell people about that I left out?
No, not at all.
But fascinating problem, which, again, to me, points out or highlights the issue of don't vote by mail unless you're willing to accept the fact that once you've done that, you know, you cannot change the vote later. Oh, interesting story. You know, I was talking about the bad news about AI and tech, and, of course, I'm very opposed to AI. I recognize there are some domains in which it is very functional for searching databases and things like that, but, you know, for writing papers and cheating and doing the stuff I do and making music and art, man, I think it's horrifying. But interesting article came to me from, I always say his name wrong, Peter Schorsch from Florida Politics. And it had to do with the prediction 10 years ago that as AI starts to do radiology work, basically somebody, the Nobel Prize winner at the time, Jeffrey Hinton, had written, people should stop training radiologists because it's completely obvious that within 5 years, basically AI is going to do better than the radiologists will do. A decade later, you have the number of radiology practices or practitioners has gone from 30,000 to 36,000. And so even though we have more AI, I guess, in use, we actually have more radiologists than we ever had before. Mayo Clinic, radiology staff has grown 55% in the last 10 years and now tops 400 physicians. So, you know, there's a point to be made that people tend to think that when a new technology comes along that gets rid of a job, that's catastrophic. For those particular people, sometimes, yes. Sometimes they're able to do more effective work and you can actually get more of them. So it's hard to tell, you know, who is going to be replaced exactly by AI, who might get better job opportunities because of it, what jobs it opens up in the future because of some new way of doing things. But generally speaking, I'm certainly not the...